healthy life. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're talking about UFOs and the national security state. What's really going on behind the scenes? Is there a secret government? Is the president just a well-placed puppet? Are all the political disputes, Republicans, Democrats, the middle, the extremes, just theater? Chris, you had a question of Richard Dolan?
I did. And this goes back to, the previous segment when we were discussing Edgar Mitchell and him confiding in you. And one story that I heard, and it just popped back into my mind here listening to you, was something about a big glass sphere that he saw on the moon, and all references to that have been excised. Do you know if they brought that back, or has he ever mentioned that to you?
He never spoke to me about that, no. I don't really know what to say about that.
So you're familiar with the... I think there was some NASA radio chatter or something that mentioned it when they were there, when they first arrived, if I remember correctly, and then all references to this obviously manufactured object, if it's real, all references have been excised.
I did come across this in passing. I feel like I should dive into that a little more in some detail and find the exact source of it. It's intriguing. I will add, I think that there are some stories that I tend to credit about the moon, about anomalies on the moon. I'll tell you one that just came to me personally. This is something I mentioned once or twice before. This is a conversation I had a number of years ago with Russell Targ, who many will know is one of the top chief scientists involved in remote viewing for Stanford Research Institute back in the 70s and 80s.
So yeah, he's been a guest on the show.
Yeah, so here's one thing Russell Targ told me. I don't know if he's mentioned this publicly. I've mentioned it publicly a few times. I had a long conversation with him on one occasion. And he said to me, Richard, back, I think he said in the early, mid-80s, he said, I was charged for a while to train remote viewers at Fort Meade, Maryland, whose job was to remote view the far side of the moon. And then there was a long pause, and I very innocently put out, well, why would they do that, Russell? He said, why do you think? And there was another pause, and I said, oh, I don't know, were they looking for E.T.? And he said, yes, they were looking for E.T. And that's exactly what he said to me. And I said, I asked him, well, did they find E.T.? And he said, well, I don't know, that wasn't part of my job. So whether he knew or not, I don't know. But, I mean, think about this. So you have a guy training remote viewers out of Fort Meade to look for E.T. on the backside of the moon. They're not going to look for E.T. on the far side of the moon if they don't have some reason to think that there's something there. There's another story. This was actually in Tim Good's Above Top Secret, and this is something I spoke to Tim about personally. And this is a story about Neil Armstrong. A lot of people have heard this. Tim Good had a very close friend, a person who I think is since deceased, a very close friend of Timothy's, who he trusted implicitly, he said. And this woman was at a gathering, like a kind of a function, where Neil Armstrong was present. I mean, and think about Neil Armstrong. First man on the moon and becomes a hermit for the rest of his life. Most famous man in the world when he does what he does. And then he comes back and goodbye, Neil Armstrong. It's like, you know.
Well not quite. The first thing he did was he went down to South America and went spelunking looking for Taos gold, I think.
Okay. And after that, nothing.
After Neil Armstrong
goes away. But she was at a function where he was and eavesdropped. So she's standing like 10 feet away, apparently. And according to what she told Tim Good, and he wrote about this in Above Top Secret, she hears this doctor or professor talking with Neil Armstrong. And the guy says, so what really happened on the moon? You know, this is the kind of question everyone would love to be a fly on the wall for. And according to what she said, she heard Neil Armstrong talking about these other craft that were there. He used the word menacing and essentially said to this guy, look, they were there and we have no way of dealing with them, essentially, is what she heard him say. Is it true? Well, you know, you can take it for what it's worth. Tim Good believed her, and he believed her enough that he put it in his book. This is the problem with our field. We're dealing with more than simply a scientific matter. I would that it were that simple. We're dealing with a matter where a door has been slammed in our face, where we know that there's this great mystery, and we're trying to get it data that should be available for a public to be able to study and analyze, and it is not available. It has been unavailable since the beginning. And that's a handicap, and that's unfortunate, and it's easy for skeptics and people who oppose us to say, well, you know, you're putting out information that's not, it's not testable, it's not provable, it's therefore not scientific. Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't change the situation. It doesn't change the fact that we are being stopped in our tracks. It doesn't change the situation that we're dealing with a kind of a government that is not open, where information does not just flow freely the way that we would like to believe it does. So we have to scurry around and pick up these stories where we can, and some of them are spurious and some are not spurious, and it just makes the whole damn thing difficult. It's like putting together a big jigsaw puzzle of 5,000 pieces. Half the pieces have been taken out, fake pieces have been put in, and you got people yelling over your shoulder saying you're doing it wrong while you're trying to put it together. That's what we do.
Right, and it's monochromatic. It's just one color.
Yeah, right.
Well, the hardest thing here is how do you do anything about it? If you have an entrenched government system that runs everything behind the scenes, and everything you see in public is just for show. If the real stuff is going on behind the scenes, it would almost require a revolution to stop it, wouldn't
absolutely.
It?
That's my conclusion. I've felt this way for years, and I think that something like that is happening. We're in the most dramatically transformative period that anyone can conceive of throughout any of human history, and that's saying a lot. We're developing a global system on the one hand that is basically foreshadowing a global police state. But on the other hand, there are tools that ordinary people have gotten that we could not dream of even 20 years ago. So we have got this global communication system in place. But more than that, we're developing ways of ferreting out information that really were not feasible. Like Edward Snowden and like WikiLeaks. In other words, the ability and Chelsea Manning and all of these people who are pulling data, digital data, out of classified repositories where it's illegal for them to do so, but they don't care. That's not stopping them. And that's part of our world now. So I think what's happening is that increasingly we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more examples of basically a kind of a worldwide nonviolent guerrilla movement that is fighting on behalf of truth and even justice, let us say. And it's a battle. It's a war. And I don't think we're going to be in the same place in 20 years where we are now. We're going to have new technologies, new capabilities. There'll be new capabilities on the other side of the fence too. But I think we're in a very, a situation of flux, one that's inherently unstable. And I would never rule out that this is hopeless. I would never say this is hopeless. I would never rule out that we have a real chance for a breakthrough. We haven't had it yet, but we may.
All right. If we have some outside force responsible for UFOs, say they are aliens, say they are landing here, say we have guilty knowledge of them inside the dark corners of governments.
Sure.
Okay. Are we talking to them, or is there the danger, always danger, that they will decide to take matters into their own hands, stage a mass landing, and then it's all over?
Yeah, I mean, both of those, why would they, either of those be impossible? Let's look at the first one, where they have communication with members of the human elite now. Look, I've wondered about this many times. So if, like, I were an alien, or if we were aliens and we came to Earth, so maybe we wouldn't be able just to walk around on the planet's surface and mingle. That probably wouldn't go over very well. After all, you get the whole pitchfork and torch phenomenon, you know, people saying, let's kill the aliens. So we might not want to deal with that. That'd be a big hassle. But we would be interested in human society. We would be very interested in human society. Look, humans are transforming themselves so dramatically in this last century. Look where we've come from. Look where we are going.
I'll tell you where we're going, but first we've got to do this break. Richard Dolan joins Gene and Chris. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Shop in your underwear. Get prepared in your pajamas. Get food for camping from the comfort of your own bed. Whatever you do, get in on Freeze Dry Guy's Bean Blowout Sale. There's no better bargain on beans. Dehydrated small red chili beans, pinto beans, and baby lima beans. With a super long shelf life, these healthy beans are a big time score for emergency preparedness or outdoor activities. Bean blowout cases of 6 number 10 cans for just $97. Only $97 plus free shipping. No need to gas up and go. Shop online now at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. This super sale runs now all the way through Cyber Monday, December 2nd, while supplies last. Freeze Dry Guys, beans, they're good for your heart. The more you buy now, the more you feel smart. On sale only at freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Richard Dolan joins us. Among his books, two volumes of UFOs in the National Security State. And before we go on, there's a volume 3 coming somewhere. What's happening with it?
I'll tell you what I've got going on. So I have two volumes of history, UFOs and the National Security State. One is 500 pages, one is 600 pages. Those two volumes go from the early 1940s to the early 90s. It covers about 50 years. There will absolutely be a third volume, which will take that story to the present day. Before that's out, I've had one interruption, one project after another that just seems to conspire to get me on something else. So project number one was when I wrote AD After Disclosure with Bryce Zabel, who has been a guest on this show. I have very, very, very good feelings about having done that book. That was a great adventure for me to write that. That's a speculation about the future, and we can talk about that. But then there's been another project that I'm just wrapping up now, which I'm very excited about, and this is a book I've called UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. It's been in the works for 2 years. I have thrown so much of myself into this book, and really think of it as a fresh introduction to the entire field. I think this topic of ours has needed a comprehensive, true, full introduction from a contemporary point of view, a 21st century point of view, to all, or at least as much of the mysteries of this topic as a person could write about. And that's what I've done. I'm ready to put it out. So this would be like a book that's not just for beginners. It's a sophisticated introduction. That's how I look at it. So something that you can give to your skeptical cousin who says, what's up with UFOs? A lot of nonsense. You say, no, here's a great book to get you up to speed. But it's also a book, I think, for experienced researchers as well, because I think that there are fresh perspectives in this book on every single page. At least I tried for that. And it's an engaging read. And my attitude is if you're bored reading it, then you're a boring person. There's really no other way to get around it. I think it's a good read, and I'm excited about getting this book out. And I wanted it to be a short book, and it's clocking in at probably in the upper 300, close to 400 pages, but it's an engaging read. So that'll be out. Oh God, I'm just trying to get this out as quickly as I can. So these are the things that have been engaging me. I'm glad that I've done this project because it's really encouraged me to take a broader look at all of this topic, whether it's the history from ancient to today, and I have several chapters dealing with the history. So there's a little bit of a teaser for Volume 3 that's in this book, but also the politics and what I would call the deep politics, something of a sophisticated analysis of the politics of the cover-up. At least that's what I've tried to do there in a few chapters. But then there's chapters dealing with just like philosophy of what is a UFO? How do we really understand what UFOs are in an age of unmanned drones, in an age of off-the-charts technology that our society is getting that's confusing us about what UFOs are and what aren't? That's a real issue. And then there's a chapter dealing with, several chapters dealing with who these other beings might be, the whole idea of contact. What is contact? Chapters dealing with science. I mean, whether it's dealing with propulsion to space-time to consciousness itself, are all of these are issues that are very, very important to me, and much more. So it's a book about UFOs that really, I think, deals with this topic in a way that hopefully will be productive moving forward into the century. So that's what I'm working on. The third volume of history is something that I'll be writing probably all through 2014. I want to get that book done too. So I'm working. Plus the other thing that I'm doing, this has been a very big part of my year, and it's going to be a very big part of next year, is that I've really been expanding my own publishing company, which I've renamed to Richard Dolan Press. It's no longer Keyhole Publishing. And I've been publishing books by some really stellar authors this year and going into next year also. I'm very, very glad to be doing this. It's all as a way for me to find a method of, A, contributing to this field, helping others contribute to the field, and finding a way so that I can delve into this topic full-time and not have to distract myself with a day job.
So the publishing company becomes your day job?
Yes, exactly. The publishing company and this topic, all of it's rolled into one.
I might have to send you some book proposals.
Do it.
Yeah, me too.
I get them frequently now. I get them frequently. I've got a bunch of books that I'm working on right now for other authors. One of which I was just fascinated because an article came out that's on exactly this topic, which has to do with Russian/Soviet USOs. Just turns out, supposedly, I just read the article. I haven't seen a detailed source on this, but I'm told that the Russian Navy has declassified a number of their reports on unknown submersible objects, USOs. And it so happens that I'm publishing a book in the next few months by Paul Stonehill and Philip Mantle. They've worked together in the past.
Oh, boy.
On Russian.
That's a good pairing.
Yeah, so absolutely, on Russian USOs. And a lot of the themes that I read about in this new press release are exactly what they're dealing with in detail. It's a fascinating book. So, I mean, I feel like one of the luckiest people I know. I'm finding a way to do this full time, engaging myself in this topic, dealing with fascinating authors who have just incredible things to say. It adds to my knowledge, and hopefully I'm able to contribute to their success and get their information out there.
That sounds great.
That's what I do. That's my life these days.
Yeah, well, that's good. Moving forward and being part of the solution as opposed to being a logjam. That's one of the problems. People get entrenched in this field into a particular conclusion or set of beliefs. And it sounds like you're allowing yourself to be open to all possibilities, yet at the same time, really drilling down on the areas that you feel are most, could be potentially most fruitful.
Well, I love what I do. I'm 51 years old now. And, so I'm not a young kid in the field anymore. I'm not so old that I have no energy left. I feel like I'm at the perfect period in my life to be doing all of this. And one of the important things is to remind myself not to turn my brain into concrete and not to, you know what I mean? To have a conclusion for all time and say, this is what it is.
Yeah.
The farther I go down this path, the more I realize this is a topic that we're bumping into the limits of our knowledge here. And maybe the limits of our capacity as sometimes to understand this mystery. It could very well be that what we're dealing with is an intelligence that is just so far different and beyond where we are. We may never truly grasp all of this topic, but look, what else do you want to do with your life? You know, you can sit around and watch American Idol, or you can dive into something that's really engaging, that it keeps you youthful, that keeps you thinking about the world in interesting ways. I'd rather do that.
Mental gymnastics. I always loved the Terrence McKenna observation that whatever this is that we're seeing that we are thinking is ET or off planet is actually something so far beyond that that it's masquerading itself as ET so that we can even deal with it.
Maybe. That's a really brilliant thought. And it's this is something that Jacques Vallée, I think, put out there years before as well. And I think there's a lot to the idea.
John Keel also put out ideas of that nature when he talked of ultra-terrestrials.
Sure.
We've got Richard Dolan joining us this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeCig.com. or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're thinking here, ladies and gentlemen, of having the best of the Paracast stingers. So we feature Richard Dolan, Bryce Zabel, Nick Redfern, of course, Chris O'Brien, and others who have given it a try over the years.
Brad Steiger did a pretty good job a couple of weeks ago.
In his best Bela Lugosi imitation.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I've never spoken to him.
I've never talked to Brad Steiger?
I've corresponded with him. I had a couple of research questions, I recall, right, on one occasion. But no, I've never met the man.
Yeah, I met him years and years ago. And, have, you know, of course, when I was a kid, I remember reading his books in grade school.
Man,
he's been at it quite a long time.
Yeah. I've known him for 100 years, you know, so.
Cool.
But I haven't met him that often. I've talked to him on the phone occasionally. He was the first, one of the first guests we had on the Paracast in 2006. And he helped us name the show, by the way.
Oh, wow.
We were going to call it, seriously, folks, this is a real story. We were going to call it Paracast World. And Brad said, why not the Paracast? And I said, why not?
I thought you were going to call it Gene Steinberg's Wacky UFO Merry-Go-Round. That's what I thought your first name was.
Well, you know, I don't put my name in the products that I do. Maybe I should, but I don't. Maybe it's because, you know, I want to be more respectful for the people who work with me. Richard Dolan.
Are we on the air now, or I don't even know?
Well, you know, sometimes we don't know either, but actually we are. And we need to kind of focus on something or other. But I think one of the big questions we get when we talk about the government having access to secret alien technology, that if they get a hold of these things, number one is, how do they reverse engineer anything? I mean, take today's iPhone 5S with the fingerprint sensor and everything. Take it back 100 years. Hand it to somebody and say, figure it out.
Right, it would be impossible. Get anyone a cell phone to the greatest genius of the 19th century, and they would fail utterly at even, you know, the beginnings of understanding how to do it. But what I think happens with reverse engineering, this is my theory. You know, let's say you give someone a cell phone 100 years ago, so you know they can't reproduce it, obviously, but maybe they know that it is a phone. Maybe they know. Maybe some information came to them telling them, this is a device that you can speak that you can use to speak to other people wirelessly. You know, so they may know some parameters. And really one of the key things about enabling scientific progress, it seems to me, is a simple thing. It's knowing that such and such a thing is even possible. If you know something's possible, then you know that's a direction we're going to go. So what I would suggest is that when you get exotic technology that's been retrieved, no, you can't reproduce it. It's too far beyond. And in fact, there, again, we have leaks exactly saying that precise thing. But what we end up doing is we try our own methods at attempting to go in that direction. And those themselves can lead to breakthroughs.
But we first have to know what they're doing before we try to duplicate it. We know maybe that this craft flies in the air, so we want to see if we can do something like that.
Yeah,
but
for example,
when it comes to lesser inventions, we have to first use the technology and see it in action before we could say, now let's see what we could do.
Right, but for example, you know, go to Roswell or go to some other crash retrieval or Kingman, which I think is potentially a very good one, or even Aztec, which I think has been had a very good case made for it recently.
Stop, Aztec. Before we go on with that, I really want to segue into Aztec, because I'm kind of a skeptic. And I know Scott Ramsey. I like the guy. I think he's really sincere. He really tried hard. I did read the book. I did study the people who didn't believe in that book and had their own ideas. But what makes you feel that Aztec is a compelling case, before we even go on to Kingman or something?
Well, I think that what he pointed out, I think very, very definitively, was that the primary attack on Aztec was made by a man who was beyond even having a grudge. It was a man who wanted in on the investigation, was absolutely riveted by it, and was locked out by Frank Scully, who wrote about it, and had a vendetta, and did everything possible to destroy the case publicly, and succeeded in that. So that's one thing. When you go back to the circumstantial evidence, I certainly will grant you that it's not anywhere as prolific or strong as with some other crash retrieval cases that I think are very good. Nonetheless, there's enough there that I think it's way premature just to go back to this tired old debunking of the early 1950s and said, oh, it was all a hoax, and that the guys involved were con men. Nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. I think Ramsey makes this a very, very persuasive case. So, no, I don't agree. I think that the Aztec case is, to debunk it the way that some people have done, I think that's old school, and I think it's wrong.
All right, Kingman, we had the guy here who's been studying Kingman for a long time, Kingman, Arizona.
Yeah.
What makes you think that has a possibility?
Well, that's another sketchy one. But there's some, again, interesting circumstantial evidence pointing to Kingman. You've got, now I wish I could remember some of the exact details of the case. I was just thinking about this recently, too. But you've got some of the Kevin Randall did some work on Kingman. You've got where he came across a witness who seemed to talk about a crash in that area in the spring of 1953. A couple of other researchers also stumbled across people who talked about the same thing. Oh, and then you got this very weird, interesting statement of Bill Uhouse, who's now dead, who talked about the being that you know, who came, who was acquired in the spring of 1953. That was according to what Uhas used to say. So I just wonder, you know, when you get information like this, you can do one of two things. You can say, well, it's not proven in any documents. I'm just going to dismiss it and throw it out. Or you can say, well, this is interesting. And when you get enough of these from disparate sources, at least for myself, I think, it could be true. The thing that's really convinced me about crash retrievals, to be honest with you, is probably the work of Leonard Stringfield. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, through the early 90s, actually, Stringfield collected story after story after story, dozens, scores, from individuals who very quietly would come up to him with fascinating stories, either that they personally had or that their deceased husband told them about or what have you, about being in a room with dead aliens at Wright Pat, or being at a crash retrieval at this place or at that place, or in one of Strengfield's places, cases of a doctor in New York City who had told him in some detail about having on one occasion done an autopsy on an alien being. And what Stringfield did is he simply collected them to the best of his ability. He tried to vet his sources, and some were vetted better than others, but he had a lot of them, and he became a kind of magnet for them. And I think when you look at the sum total of what he gathered, it's quite compelling.
Whatever happened to all his files, I wonder?
I don't know. He died in 94. That's a great question. This is one of the big problems in our field. You've got these private researchers who develop a lot of information, and then what happens? It just goes away.
I've been trying to get access to the APRO files. I've been working on this for 5 years. These people,
I wanted to ask you about that.
Won't return my calls. I know where they are, basically.
Are they in Sedona?
The people are, but I don't think the files are. I think they're down in the Phoenix area.
Well, I'm not far from the Phoenix area, so maybe you and I can do a nighttime excursion.
Risking and entering, I'd say.
You say very late at night, but then Sheriff Joe, who's, of course, the sheriff of Maricopa County, which covers Phoenix, he'll be listening to this show, and he gets his gendarmes to follow us if we try to do a top-secret trip to where those files are held. That's the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, folks, that was headed by the late Jim and Coral Lorenzen, starting in the 50s and 60s, going through probably the 80s and 90s. Richard Dolan, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the Ultimate Enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the Ultimate Enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health, order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, no, we're not planning on locating the APRO files.
Not doing a heist?
No heists.
Well, they owe me a big favor. I really went out of the way to help them out with a project and with the understanding that the quid pro quo, you guys are going to, you know, give me access to pull out some very specific case files. And they just totally they now ignore me. I should go camp on their doorstep and say, I'm not going to leave until you make good on your promise.
I'm sorry, I found Tina Choate. I was looking for her. She was really the main person who stole those files. And for anyone who has no idea what we're talking about, APRO had an enormous number of valuable firsthand UFO-related files that they collected for over 30 years.
15 file cabinets.
Yeah, it's huge. And when the Lorenzens died in the mid-80s, this woman named Tina Choate and her pal Brian Myers, I believe,
right,
strolled into town after they had hoodwinked J. Allen Hynek to come to Arizona with them under very false pretenses. And they go to APRO. I talked to Bob Dean about this. Bob Dean was on the APRO board at the time, and he said it was the most shameful thing in my entire life where I was part of the board that gave away those files to these people, and he hates them to this day. But really, they had this pretense that they were starting a new UFO organization. They were going to make the files open to the public. They were going to, you know, they were going full guns on this. And then they got the files for nothing and then proceeded just to lock them up.
And since then, they've been busted for fraud and other questionable activities that do not shed a good light on their character. And every couple of months, I call them up and say, "Hey, remember me? I'm going to keep bugging you until you get in touch with me." The real song and dance, you know.
Yeah, I called her one time. I actually gave her a phone call and just trying to do some kind of interview, talk with her, and she wouldn't. She wouldn't even say that it was her.
Let me ask you here: why would you lock these things up in a file cabinet and just leave them? Are they hoping that maybe somebody will come in there and write them a check for $1 million to take?
No, obviously, the reason they did is because they were told to. The APRO files are so valuable, and for the UFO research to move forward, we need access to files like those. And you take it and you lock them away, and you just kill the field. You just put a big roadblock in front. You know, they're not going to get $1 million for the files. Maybe a couple of thousand dollars. Nothing you're going to retire off of. So it's not for money. It's not even for spite. It's an op. It's an operate. What else can it be? They go in, they steal the files, and then they lock them away. What does that sound like? If you're dealing with a topic that's got national security implications, and this does, then how difficult is it to hire a couple of people and say, hey, do this. Just take this. Here you go. And everything's done through cutouts, and they're a cutout. That's what I would say.
And, of course, it's not that you can sue them because you have no standing.
Correct. They got the files legally.
Yeah, well, yeah, possession is nine-tenths of the law, and they were awarded those files under like you said, questionable circumstances, but they were given the files by the board.
Absolutely. They could be flooded. They could be destroyed. Who knows? I have no idea.
So we only hope they might be somewhere.
They could be getting mold. Well, in the Southwest, maybe not much mold, but still, we have no idea what's happened to them.
You know, I could be sitting here, a 15-minute drive from that place. Oh, well. Chris, there's a bunch of questions from our listeners, and I can see now that this is one of the shows that should take 6 hours and then some. But since we can't do a six-hour show today, Chris, do we have some questions from the audience that might be relevant to what we've been discussing so far?
Yeah, we do, actually, Gene. And, of course, Richard, you do tend to bring out very, very interesting questions from our listeners. And
good.
Posters at forum.theparacast.com. Blowfish, one of our very active members, has an interesting question here. I think it's a good one to start with. It's a topic that we haven't covered, but we've kind of hinted around at it. What is your best evidence that a black budget space program exists if, let's say, you get into a debate with skeptics about this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would make the argument by inference. So you have a couple of things going on. One is there's a black budget. Okay, we know that there's a black budget. Officially speaking, it's something along the lines of $50 billion. I guarantee you it's more than that. And I would say that because what we have is an underground black budget economy that deals with narco trafficking, securities fraud, financial fraud, and the like. And anyone who does any little investigation into the global intelligence community understands this. Two, space is the paramount center of gravity, as it were, for U.S. national security. If you do not control space, you're not a player. You do not win wars if you do not control space. So the United States has an absolute military paramount interest in dominating space as a platform. So you've got that. So you've got a black budget. You've got the need to control space. You therefore must have classified space-based programs that do exist. Okay. So that, I think, is very easy logic for anyone to understand. On top of that, you have a lot of video evidence of anomalies. And I'm not talking about the Tether incident because I don't credit that one. But I do think that there are a number of compelling space-based UFO encounters that have come down to us that I do credit. So this is my logic. You have a lot of money. You have a demand for control of space. And you have encounters with what appear to be highly advanced technology in space. So let me ask you this. If you've got the wherewithal to be in space, are you simply going to not investigate any of the things that are out there? Of course you will. Of course you will. But you cannot investigate them in open. You cannot investigate them with the public watching you. That won't work. So you must have a clandestine space program to some extent. The question is, what is the extent? Are they simply dealing with classified technology that's dealing with this anomalous phenomenon of space in Earth orbit? Or is there the possibility that this program is dealing even with beyond Earth orbit, for example, the moon? I think the answer to that is yes. And I think the answer is yes based on, again, the accounts that have come down to us over the years that deal with anomalies concerning the moon. So if you've got all of that, you're going to be investigating. You'd be irresponsible if you didn't. So I think on that reason, I think there's a secret space program. What are the exact parameters and contours of it? I don't know. I'm not in the program. They haven't really bothered to tell me. But that's how I think it's going down. That's why I believe it.
Okay, the belief, how does that transfer to actually proving it? Is there a way to prove a secret space program?
I don't know yet. I haven't proven it. I think that it's, when I look at this topic, I have to make gradations. Gradation number one is what I know is true. What I know is true is based on confirmed documentary evidence and other things that stand up. So declassified documents and so forth. And what I know from those is that there is a phenomenon that has engaged our national security community for many, many years, that deals with technology that's not supposed to exist but does, that violates sensitive airspace, objects that don't look normal, they look disc-shaped, they have incredible capabilities, and so forth. That, to me, there's no question. That's real. That begs the question of who they are. So that's gradation number one. The next level is what I feel confident is probably true. And then there's another gradation of things that I speculate and I think are interesting and may be true, and other things that are just BS. I put the secret space program in the second level. So I think that there are enough compelling data bits, data points that have come to me over the years that convince me, that persuade me that this is the case. That's where I put that. But proving it? No, I mean, not yet. Now, maybe in the next decade, maybe in the next two decades, things may change. And the reason they may change is that we're now in an era where it seems to be becoming easier for entities other than just the U.S. government and NASA to get out into space. We're talking not just other countries, but we're talking private entities as well. And if that trend continues, it's quite possible that we'll get other data points that are much more compelling.
Yeah, we have to think of all the people right now who are doing that, like one of the co-founders of PayPal, the place where, you know, you send money and everything. He's got a company that's sending craft into space, and maybe that's where our next real trip, public trip, as opposed to any private or secret trip, our public trip to the moon and elsewhere may come from. Richard Dolan, discussing the national security state, UFOs, and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.